Krishtapadaya Krishtapastaya Putale Shimati Pativadanta Swamaniti Domini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gorvani Pacharini Nirishisa Suni Varigusta Idistani. Are all of you aware that after the Premadwani prayers, you're supposed to pay obeisances to your spiritual master? You say pranams to your spiritual master? Do you know that? I think hardly anyone did that. Because you bounce up so quick. It's like, what are you saying? Jai Guru Dev, and then you come up? You're supposed to say full pranams to your spiritual master after the Premadwani prayers, okay? Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militanjena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Chapter 9, entitled The Most Confidential Knowledge, text number 9. Please repeat. Na Natchamantani Kamani Nabadnanti Dananjaya Udasina Vadasinam Asaktante Shukamasu Natchamantani Karmani Nabadnanti Dananjaya Udasina Vadasinam Asaktante Shukamasu. Translation. O Dananjaya, all this work cannot bind me. I am ever detached from all these material activities, seated as though neutral. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One should not think in this connection that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no engagement. In his spiritual world, he is always engaged. In the Brahma Sangita 5.6, it is stated, Atmaramasyatasyasti prakritya nasamagamaha. He is always involved in his eternal, blissful spiritual activities, but he has nothing to do with these material activities. Unquote. Material activities are being carried on by his different potencies. The Lord is always neutral in the material activities of the created world. This neutrality is mentioned here with the word udasinavat. Although he has control over every minute detail of material activities, he is sitting as if neutral. The example can be given of a high court judge sitting on his bench. By his order, so many things are happening. Someone is being hanged, someone is being put into jail, someone is awarded a huge amount of wealth, but still he is neutral. He has nothing to do with all that gain and loss. Similarly, the Lord is always neutral, although he has his hand in every sphere of activity. In the Vedanta Sutra 2.134, it is stated, Vaishamya nairgrinye na. He is not situated in the dualities of this material world. He is transcendental to these dualities. Nor is he attached to the creation and annihilation of this material world. The living entities take their different forms in the various species of life according to their past deeds, and the Lord doesn't interfere with them. Verse again. Natchamantani karmani nabatnanti dananjaya udasina vadasinam asaktanteshu karmasu. O Dananjaya, all this work cannot bind me. I'm ever detached from all these material activities, seated as though neutral. Somebody's chanting. Something going on over there? Well, maybe ask him not to. Well, I'm praying too, you know. No, but listen, it's distracting. Anyhow, as far as I ever saw, Srila Prabhupada gave a lot of prominence to certain activities of our movement. And one of those activities was class. When there was class, he expected everybody to focus in just on class, not on anything else. Actually, one of our biggest problems is that we tend not to be able to just hear. We're so distracted by so many things. So when it's time to hear, it's difficult enough even when we're trying to focus. So at least we need to try to focus our attention on the class. It's just a short time. I apologize that I'm taking everyone's time, but it's just 45 minutes, an hour. The rest of the time you can do whatever you want. So let's see, where are we? Yeah, natchamantani kamani navatnanti dananjaya udasinavarasinam asaktam teshu karmasu. O Dananjaya, all this work cannot buy me. I am ever detached from all these material activities, seated as though neutral. So, it is said that not a blade of grass moves except by the will of the Lord. Now, when this is a common saying, of course, we've probably all heard it many times. But if you really think about that, it's quite a heavy statement. Not a blade of grass moves except by the will of the Lord. How many blades of grass are there? Of course, right around here, there aren't many, I suppose. Right? In this part of Bombay, not so many blades of grass. You must have parks or something, right? Aren't there parks where there's grass? No? Everybody's looking at me like, have you heard of grass? You know the word? Have you ever seen grass? I don't know. When Prabhupada went to New York, he was so surprised. He woke up one morning and there was snow all over everything. And he actually didn't know what it was. He was very surprised. He'd never seen snow. So I was thinking maybe people in Bombay have never seen grass. And you know, it's this kind of green stuff that grows up from the ground. Anyhow, all over the world there's millions and millions and millions and gazillions of blades of grass. And they're not always all moving in the same direction. They move in different directions, you know. And each tiny one, in order for it to do whatever it's doing, it has to have the control or the approval of the Supreme Lord. That's just the blades of grass. What to speak of the human beings, right? Everything that's going on, all the planets, every single thing, every bug, every mosquito. If the mosquito bites you, that's the will of the Lord. Sorry. Even the ones that have malaria. Everything is going on by Krishna's control. But, on the other hand, he's not having anything directly to do with any of it. Well, what's he doing? He's just there with Radharani. He's just there in the spiritual world. He's enjoying. Like, for instance, I spent about, 20 years or something in London, at the home of Sri Sri Radhalandaneshwara. And there were so many crazy things that went on in that temple. At one point in the mid-80s, we had a head pujari who, he got a little bit distracted from Krishna consciousness and started smoking cigarettes. So while he was still the head pujari, he was smoking cigarettes. And he was still serving the deities. It's just one example. There were many things like this. We don't, in London, there isn't exactly the sort of pure atmosphere that you seem to have here. So, but throughout it all, it was amazing. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, Radha Landaneshwara We're still standing there and enjoying, obviously enjoying, both smiling nicely, Krishna playing on his flute. So all these things are going on. So many things are going on in the material world. But Krishna has his own world. And he's enjoying there. This is one of the reasons why people think there isn't any God. Because it seems like there's no one controlling things. Like the materialists say that the sign of a good manager is the one that you don't even know that he's there. You don't even know he's managing, you know. I mean, many of you work in offices or in business, right? You got some manager, you got some boss, right? And it's, you know, there's different kinds of bosses. They're the kind that are always breathing down your neck, you know, and telling you to do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that, right? You always know he's there. Not a good manager. The good manager is the one who you don't know he's there, but everything's going on by his energies. And that's just a mundane boss. Mundane guy who's, you know, lives for 60 years or something, or in a material body, totally materially conditioned soul with the four defects. But if he's a good manager, he does things in such a way that he doesn't have to be directly involved in anything. He goes golfing or something. In the meantime, everything's going well. Of course, everybody's envious of him because they want to go golfing. But that's why he's the boss. That's why he's the good manager, because he's so expert. He's off enjoying while everybody else is working. And by his energies, all this is going on. So in the same way, by Krishna's energies, but more so by Krishna's energies. Krishna has a lot more energies than anybody else. And he's by those energies, he's accomplishing more than anybody else can possibly accomplish. You know, when Srila Prabhupada was with us, he often talked about how people say that they're God. He was especially talking about Indians. Indian so-called gurus or incarnations or swamis. I don't know, is that still going on in India? People still say this? Huh? Not so much? Yeah? Many? Yeah? They still say I'm God? It's incredible, huh? How can you be God? There was one time Prabhupada was giving a lecture somewhere, and after the lecture, during the lecture, some hippie jumped up and he was upset that Prabhupada was talking about Krishna being God. He said, "I'm God!" And then he was yelling and screaming for a few minutes. Prabhupada just listened. And then the guy ran out of things to say. He was quiet. And Prabhupada said, "So, you are God?" And the whole audience started laughing because obviously the guy had just made a fool out of himself. How can you be God? It's ridiculous. There was another time one devotee was distributing books on Oxford Street in London, and he met one Indian man and he showed him Bhagavad Gita, and the man was shocked. He said, "Bhagavad Gita?" He said, "What are you doing with my book?" And the devotee was bewildered. He said, "What do you mean your book?" He said, "That's my book." And, you know, innocent young Sankirtan devotee is like 18 years old or something. He said, "No, it's not your book." He said, "I got it from the book room this morning before I came." And the guy said, "That's my book." He said, "That's my book. I'm the one who spoke Bhagavad Gita."
This devotee didn't know what to think. You know? Completely crazy guy. Yeah, I'm God. How silly. Or like Prabhupada was staying for a while at the ashram of an impersonalist in New York when he first got there. So that must have been, I don't know, late 65 or early 66, I don't remember. A Dr. Mishra. And of course, Mayavadi philosophy, you know, I'm God, you're God, we're all God, right? But then Dr. Mishra got a toothache and he had to go to the dentist. So Prabhupada was laughing. He said, what kind of God gets a toothache? Then he has to go to the dentist God. Another time there was this one so-called guru named Guru Maharajji, who was very popular among the hippies in the 1960s. I think he was just a teenager, as I recall. I don't remember for sure, but he had quite a big following. And at some point, when he arrived at some airport somewhere, somebody threw a pie in his face. And it was big news. It was a picture of the guy with the pie in his face. And Prabhupada was laughing. He said, what kind of God is this? He has a pie thrown in his face. Anyway, people can say whatever they want, but the question is, can they do what Krishna does? Can they create universes? It's like, there's a statement actually in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Krishna cannot enjoy alone, which seems to be contradictory because we hear that Krishna is Swarat, he's completely independent. So if he's completely independent, how is it that he cannot enjoy alone? Anybody know the answer to that? Huh? Okay. His female counterpart is Radharani, so it's like Krishna himself. That's sort of the right answer. I'm getting there. Anybody else? Krishna is known as Swarat, completely independent. But the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, stated that he cannot enjoy alone. So if he cannot enjoy alone, how can he be supremely independent? You don't know? How many of you are initiated? Be honest, raise your hand. Okay, we're going to take away your initiated names. Those of you who are not initiated, there's no hope for you. You don't know this answer? You're going to have to become Buddhists or something. I don't know, but... they don't know. Yes. He wants to what? He wants to enjoy with all souls, yeah. What's that? We are part and parcel of Krishna, yeah. You're sort of getting at the point, but not quite, yeah. He's self-satisfied, but when there's a relationship... when there's a relationship, what? Relationships more. Okay. Yes, sir. Do we have a traveling microphone? Give him a microphone.
Krishna is called Rasraj.
Krishna and what?
Rasraj. He's called the king of all pleasures.
Yeah.
And for that he need to show that ras. He... like in Madhurya Ras, it is the topmost, And for that he need to show that how this Madhurya Rasa is to be shown. That's why he comes with Radharani.
Okay. Yeah. Give him the microphone.
He can make arrangements for his own enjoyment, whereas others have to be dependent on somebody else's sanction, that is Krishna.
Exactly. That's the answer. Okay. You should be initiated tomorrow. Are you initiated yet? Okay. We can arrange for tomorrow. Okay. Excellent answer. Yes. Krishna is completely independent. He's Swarat. So he doesn't depend on anybody else for anything, for his strength, his potency, his enjoyment, or anything. But independently, he creates so many other living entities with whom to enjoy. Now, we can't do that. You see, so some idiot who says he's God, you know, but he gets lonely too. Because without relationships, there's no enjoyment. There's no such thing as enjoyment without relationships. It's not possible. You can't have enjoyment without relationships. You know, sometimes we hear about, even sometimes Prabhupada speaks about this, about the bliss or ananda of impersonal realization. In some places he says that, but other places he makes it clear that without a relationship there's no ananda. There's no happiness. There's no enjoyment. There have to be relationships. Actually, impersonalists don't really experience any ananda. They don't experience any bliss. It's not possible. Where's the bliss going to come from if there's no relationships? What they may experience is a kind of peace. But peace, after a while, gets really boring. Let's say you get really stressed out and you want to go somewhere to be peaceful. Okay? What happens after a while? You're sitting around being peaceful. You got to do something, right? You got to talk to somebody, chant something, right? Yeah, so the people who say that they're God, but then they have to prove it. They have to do the things that God does. Like Prabhupada, for instance, often used the example of displaying the universal form. He said, if someone says he's God, then challenge him. Display your universal form. They can't do that. They can't do so many things that God can do. And they have problems. Everybody has problems. So, Krishna is not like that. And that's important to us. Why is that important to us? Who can say? Why is it important to us to know that Krishna is completely transcendental to anything in the material world, including creation and annihilation? What does it matter? What does that have to do with our day-to-day problems? This world, we're still in a world that's full of duality. We still got problems. We still have to eat. We still have to sleep. You know, so what does it matter? I mean, just like here, we say Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but there are many other people in Bombay who don't accept that. And who, you know, they worship some other god. And they seem, you know, like they're doing okay. I mean, They also have the same problems we got. They have to eat, they have to sleep, they have to make money. So what's the difference? What's the difference if you believe in Krishna or believe in, you know, that somebody else is supreme? And what does it matter if Krishna is completely transcendental or not? Who cares? Yeah. If we don't understand... Okay, if we don't understand how Krishna is transcendental, then we can't love him. And then if we don't love him, we won't serve him. Is that right? Yeah, well, that's a good answer. There was a popular song in the 60s, you know, some stupid popular song by some stupid girl, saying it was called, "To Know Him is to Love Him." Of course, that's because she didn't know him yet very well, obviously, because once she got to really know him, she wouldn't love him very much. But it does really apply to Krishna. That's the difference. But the more you know about Krishna, the more, yes, the more we love him. And then, the more that we love him, then the more that we naturally want to serve him. Yes, that's a good answer. Why else is it important to us to know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to know that he's completely transcendental to anything material, including his own creation? Why is that important to us? Okay, that's one way to explain it, that that the one of whom we're taking shelter, he is not bound in this material world at all. So therefore he's worth taking shelter of. That's, yeah.
Otherwise we would think that Krishna is ordinary, like an ordinary.
Otherwise we'll think Krishna is ordinary, yeah. You haven't, yeah. Where's the microphone? Yeah, go ahead.
In 7th chapter, Krishna tells that this material world is very difficult to overcome.
Yes. Get
out of this, but only one when surrenders unto him, he only gets relief from this.
Yeah. Daivyesha gunamai mama maya duratya mamai viye prabhatyante maya maitantaranti te. This divine energy of mine is difficult to overcome, but it's very easy to overcome for one who surrenders to Krishna. But why are we going to surrender to Krishna? We don't even like this word surrender, right? Who likes the word surrender? Nobody, right? You talk to people, right? You start talking about the word surrender, they start getting very nervous, right? There's certain words when you're talking to people you have to be careful not to say. One of them is surrender. Another one's renunciation. Bad word. Detachment is, you have to watch out for detachment. What else? Huh? What was that?
Life after death.
Life after death. Oh, you can't mention death at all. Forget it. One time, my father was very sick. He was dying. And my sisters and brother and I were a little bit concerned about my mother, how she was going to deal with it when he died, because she kind of seemed to go around in a kind of make-believe world, you know, like a fantasy world. And so we were thinking, what's going to happen? You know, she'd been living with him for like, I don't know, more than 50 years. And so I tried to bring it up to her one time, in very subtly. And I said, you know, Mom, you know, Dad's really, really sick. And, you know, he may not recover. Something like that. Trying to be gentle, you know. And she said, well, let's not talk about that. You can't talk about this. It's not a nice topic, death. You're not supposed to talk about it. Yeah, certain topics you just can't talk about. And one of those is surrender, right? Nobody wants to surrender. It's a dirty word. Right? And one of the reasons is because we don't know anybody who's worth surrendering to. And that's reasonable. That's good. That's intelligent. We should not surrender to somebody who is not qualified to deal with our surrender. So if we can understand Krishna's capability, his supreme qualities, and that he's actually worthy of our surrender, then surrender becomes much more easy.
And actually, then we ultimately we understand we don't have a choice. Like Krishna says, Yeyatamam prabhajyante tansataiva bhajamyam. Everyone follows my path in all respects anyway. Right? Ultimately, everyone surrenders to Krishna. Just like Prabhupada said that if you don't bow down to Krishna before death, then you bow down at death. Right? But everything belongs to Krishna anyway. Everything we have. And he's going to take it all. Whether today or tomorrow, he's going to take it all. Whatever we have now, he's going to take it. Your spectacles, your clothes, your body, everything. He's going to take it. So since we have to give it up anyway, whatever it is, our willpower, our determination, our intelligence, our money, our time, our energy, whatever it is, well, we might as well give it up willingly rather than going kicking and screaming, right? It's much more nice that way. Do it with, to do it voluntarily, in a loving way, rather than to do it reluctantly and make it more painful. It's like, for instance, let's see. If you're standing in front of somebody and he pushes you on the chest, okay, and you resist, what are you going to feel? Somebody's standing in front of you, he pushes you on the chest and you resist, what will you feel? Huh? Force? More force? You feel pressure, right? Like sometimes we say we feel too much pressure. Why do we feel pressure? Because we're resisting, right? Let's say he's pushing you in the chest and you don't resist. You just kind of flow back with it. Do you feel any pressure? No. No big deal, right? We feel pressure because we resist. Yeah, so we have to give up anyhow. We have to surrender anyhow. But it's true that we need to know that this person is the person we're surrendering to. In other words, we can't be Hare Krishnas just out of sentiment. Just because you like the devotees or something. That's nice, it's a good reason, but it's not the only reason. We have to know who Krishna is. We have to know why this path and why not another path? Because otherwise we'll get bewildered. Ultimately we'll get bewildered. If somebody comes up with some philosophical argument, and some people are very good at philosophical arguments, they can twist your mind all in circles with their fancy words. Right? Unless you're really clear about who Krishna is and why he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead and why we should surrender to him, it's easy to get bewildered. We have to know. And especially we need to know that he is transcendental to everything. And there's no one else that can be said of. Not Lord Brahma, not Lord Shiva, not any other god or demigod. Only it can be said of Krishna. And in fact, even among all the expansions of the personality of Godhead, of course, they're all the Supreme Personality of Godhead also, like Ramachandra, Lord Nisringadev, Lord Balaram, etc. But even among them, Krishna is the Supreme. Sarvakarana Karanam. He's the, or what's that verse? Ete Chanchakala Krishna. Krishna's two, Bhagavan Swayam. That of all these different expansions or incarnations of the Lord, but Krishna's the original, he's the Supreme. But in any case, whether in his form of Krishna or his form as Lord Ramachandra or whatever, the point is, he's completely transcendental to all the material happenings. And that's important to us because we need to
get above these material happenings. It's just like, let's say, you're in the ocean. Sometimes the material world is compared to an ocean. So you're in the ocean. What do you need to do? You need to keep your head above the water, right? That's your primary concern, is keeping your head above the water. You need to be above it somehow, right? You can be in it, but at the same time above it, right? If you have a life jacket or something, a buoy. But you need to stay above it. Because if you start going under it, you're finished. That's our problem. You know, we are under the influence of the modes of material nature. The three modes are always, acting upon us. That's our problem. And therefore, we're suffering in various ways because of that. The only way we can avoid these sufferings, or this, let's say, up and down, back and forth, enjoyment, suffering, enjoyment, suffering, enjoyment, suffering, you know, like a roller coaster, you know. The only way we can avoid it is getting above it. In order to get above it, we have to find out a person who is already above it. And we make contact with him. And then he keeps us above it. Even when Krishna comes himself to the material world, he's not at all affected by the modes of nature. He's still completely transcendental. He doesn't get a material body. Even though we have paintings of Krishna, etc., etc., this is not a material body. It's not a body made of blood and bones and everything else. It's a completely transcendental spiritual body. So, etarishana misha sha prakriti stopi dat gunai. No yuchate saratmastaya yata buddhistarashraya. Similarly, and this is the important part for us, the one who takes shelter of him and fixes his intelligence at Krishna, he also becomes transcendental to the influence of the modes of material nature. That is what we want. At minimum, that's what we want. Prabhupada said we should have a desire to get out of the influence of the modes of material nature. Obviously, ultimately, we want more than that. We want also to be eternal loving servants of Krishna. But in one sense, you could say our first priority is to get out from under the influence of the modes of material nature. So we need to find someone who's completely transcendental already to those modes. And that's Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay, any questions? Any answers?
You mentioned about the various distractions that may come while the execution of Krishna.
I mentioned what?
The distractions.
Speak a little slower.
Yeah, the distractions that may come while we are executing Krishna consciousness.
The distractions that?
That may come while we are following this process of Krishna consciousness.
Okay.
So how to keep our, especially in ashram life, how to keep our focus on the essence rather than get distracted by other things?
Practice. Srila Prabhupada said anything you practice, you become better at.
The things that we need to do that will keep us strong in spiritual life.
We know all those things. We do those things and we don't do the other things. We do the things that will help us to think of Krishna and don't do the things that don't help us think of Krishna. Anukul yasya sankalpa, pratikul yasya varjanam. Accept everything favorable for devotional service, reject everything unfavorable. It takes practice. There's no quick what do they call it, quick fix. You know, there's no like spiritual microwave, sort of. You know, just pop your desire to be Krishna conscious in the microwave and pull it out and now I'm fixed. Now I'm focused on Krishna consciousness. No replacement for hard work. Practice, 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 practice. How do people get to be good piano players? You know, people who are really good at piano playing, they play like, or any kind of musical instrument. They play like something like 6 hours a day. They practice 6 hours a day. Can you imagine? Unbelievable. They just practice 6 hours a day. Or anything else. Of course, we do more than that. We practice a lot more than that. But the more we practice, the more better we get at it. And even we find ourselves lacking in some, to some degree. Anyhow, what can you do? Krishna tells Arjuna, every endeavor is covered by some fault. Keep going, do the best you can. Gradually you get better and better. Nothing else we can do. Anything else? Yes.
Prabhuji, for wonderful What's discourse. That? I'm saying thank you very much for wonderful discourse. My question is, Prabhuji, you mentioned that when we resist to whatever is coming in our life, because of that we feel pressure. But sometimes we have to make...
I didn't say when we resist anything that's coming in our life. I meant when we resist surrendering to Krishna.
Yeah, whenever we resist against...
You need to speak more directly and you have to...
Yeah. Resistance brings pressure, right? I mean, the resistance to not surrendering to Krishna and not acting according to his plans. So we actually don't know what are the plans of Krishna. So what should be our strategy?
We don't know what Krishna's plans are.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So how do we know what to resist or not to resist?
Yes, exactly.
Good question. Well, one way to know is by... you have various gurus, not just Diksha Guru, but you have various Shiksha Gurus who are guiding your spiritual life. Of course, you have to make sure you have the right gurus, people who are actually qualified to guide you, and that they actually understand you and have your best interests in mind. And then people who are experienced in Krishna consciousness, more experienced than you, so they can guide you in what you need to surrender to and what you should not surrender to. But also, again, it comes from experience, from practice. You learn what things work, what things don't work. Another thing is that the more attentively we can chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Krishna reveals to us directly from within our heart what he wants of us. Once I was on a party of devotees whose service was distributing books to professors, and one of the brahmacharis in our party asked Srila Prabhupada, how can we distribute books better to the professors? And Prabhupada said, Dadami Bhuti Yogantam. He quoted from the 10th verse of the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Teshan Satati Yuktanan Bhajatan Piti Purvakam Dadami Bhuti Yogantam Nyena Mama Payantite. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the intelligence by which they can understand me. So, Dadami Bhuti Yogantam. That was only Prabhupada's only answer. He didn't give a very sophisticated, well, you can tell them that. He just said that one thing. Tadami buddhi yogantam. So Krishna, from within your heart, if you're chanting with sincerity and attention, then Krishna from within your heart will reveal to you what's the proper method to take, what's the proper course to take. Okay? Yes, sir.
Hare Krishna. Thanks a lot for our very inspiring class. And
thank you.
He spoke a lot about surrender. So in a new lot about surrender. He spoke a lot about surrender.
Yeah.
So in a neophyte level for me, like surrender seems to be a very abstract term. So can you please give a detailed
surrender seems to be abstract.
Well,
but I already gave an answer to that, that we have various guides or authorities in Krishna consciousness, and they tell you do this and don't do that. That's not abstract. So if we have confidence that they're actually representing Krishna, then when we follow that, then we also, that's surrender to Krishna also. If they're doing Krishna's work and we surrender to them, we're surrendering to Krishna. Not surrender to them exactly, but surrender to that instruction. That's very specific. Also, Krishna gives very specific instructions what to do. Prabhupada has given very specific instructions what to do and what not to do. You know, like for instance, Krishna says in the last eight verses of the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita are all about how to please Krishna. He says, this kind of person is dear to me. You want to surrender to Krishna, well, follow that. That's pretty clear. Or let's say Prabhupada said that the way to please him, one of the main things he emphasized over and over again was to distribute his books. So if you distribute his books, you're surrendering to Krishna. These are just some examples. So many examples. When we like to come to a class like this, Prabhupada said, hearing is an austerity. That's surrendering to Krishna. To take your valuable time and energy to try to hear. These are very practical things. Even Prabhupada said, taking prasadam is an austerity. Because why? It means we're not eating food which is not offered to Krishna. Where was the microphone? Somebody else had a question? No? Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for enlightening us on this verse from Srimad Bhagavad Gita. So we would like to show our gratitude by loudly chanting three times.
Hari.